Congressman Elliot Engel is the expert in the United States Congress on foreign affairs. He's the ranking Democrat, meaning the top Democrat on the Foreign Affairs Committee. And one of the things I've been saving for you, Elliot, is the question of the U.S. withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal. Is this a disaster?
Well, you know, it's really ironic because I did not like the Iran nuclear deal. And I didn't vote for it. I voted against it. And I didn't like it for a number of reasons. And I won't go into all of them. I'll just go into a couple of them. The agreement gave Iran billions of dollars in return. Iran has been the number one state sponsor of terrorism through the years. And I did not want the billions of dollars that Iran reaped from this agreement to be used in terrorism, certainly not in terrorism against Israel and against some of the other Western allies. So I was not in favor of the deal, and the deal also purported to prevent Iran from having a nuclear weapon, but it really did no such thing. It postponed it for 15 years. But at the end of the 15 years, the way I read it, in the year 2030 or even maybe before, Iran can be a nuclear threshold state. So I didn't support it. It did go through. It wasn't blocked, and it became the law. And for 2 years, we've worked with our closest allies, the UK, France, Germany, who are also a part of this deal. And they were begging us not to walk away from the deal because they felt, and they came to my office, and we had also a meeting of the caucus, and they seemed to feel that if we pulled out of the deal, it would isolate the United States. If we stayed in the deal, forced Iran, sanctioned them like crazy, and then even imposed more sanctions, not only on nuclear weapons, but on ballistic missiles, on their human rights violations, on terrorism, their actions on terrorism, then we could make them the focus once again and isolate them. So I think that, you know, we should listen to some of our allies. They were all unanimous on this. And it goes back to what we had discussed previously, which is that Trump downplays the importance of alliances, downplays it. So I think that pulling out of the deal and trying to kill the deal right there was not the smartest thing to have been done. And I say that as someone who found fault with the deal. But I will tell you that I do think that the president should listen much more to what our allies are thinking and telling us to do than just waking up one morning and deciding that he wasn't going to do it at all.
And while we're on the subject, what about Canada? This seems to me to be a very difficult thing that the president is doing to our closest ally.
Well, it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. Who's closer to us than Canada? And we share the border. There's never been any, I can't remember in my entire lifetime, where there's been any kind of friction between the U.S. and Canada the way we have it now under Trump. And his going after Trudeau was just unseemly, I think. And so this is why I have said that the president practices fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants diplomacy. Whatever he wakes up with and thinks, whatever he tweets out, whatever is on his mind, he does without any consistency from what he has said before. And this is true, of course, with the recent dissing of Trudeau. It's just terrible. So he's, you know, the alliances that we have kept the Soviet Union at bay, have kept Russia at bay, have done the kind of things where we have so many allies in Eastern Europe that used to be part of the old Soviet bloc, the old Russian bloc. They're wondering, is the United States a reliable partner? Is the United States someone who will be there when they need us? And I'm not convinced that they feel very good about Trump and what we're doing right now.
So our foreign policy would seem to be up to the whim that he, as you say, that he wakes up with in the morning. But there's got to be something that is guiding it. So throughout this whole Mueller investigation, there is this question as to whether or not the Russians are calling the shots. Do you have any sense of that?
Well, I want to know the truth. We don't know the truth. Unfortunately, Trump and the administration has tried to block the truth. It certainly seems to me that something, what is the Shakespeare thing? Something is rotten in the state of Denmark. I say that's obviously with tongue in cheek, but it certainly seems that something is wrong here. Why won't the president and his administration go after Putin? It's so obvious that Putin and the Russians interfered in the United States presidential election in 2016. Why doesn't that outrage the president and his administration? It outrages me, and it would outrage me no matter who the Russians tried to sabotage, even if it was Trump. I don't want Russia intervening in our election. And for some reason, Trump seems to admire Putin, doesn't want to come down hard on him. So after a while, after a couple of years of this, you know, you start to wonder and say, was there collusion? Was there a problem with the Russians? And that's, of course, what Mr. Mueller is looking at. That's, of course, what we're trying to come to the bottom of. And that's why I support what we do with Mueller. I support it because I want to know the truth. And if there's no truth to it, then fine. And if there is truth to it, then I want to make sure that something like this never, ever, ever happens again.
So let me ask you this. As you know, the Republicans spent a great deal of time vilifying Nancy Pelosi. And I'm going to assume for a second that the Democrats do win the House. There won't be any problem in her getting reelected, will there?
Well, you know, I think that all Democrats should concentrate on getting elected, concentrate on mentioning issues that the American people care about. I don't think that Nancy Pelosi is the top issue on people's minds all over the country. And I think it's just a distraction and helps create a division. It looks like we're going to have a Democratic victory, but obviously not until November will we know. And I don't want anything that would divide the Democrats. I want to have a Democratic victory, number one, and number two, the biggest possible Democratic victory. So I don't want to get involved in predicting who's going to be the leader, who's not going to be the leader. I don't think that's helpful. I think we need to get a majority first, and then we'll weigh all the facts, and we'll see what comes out of it. I think there are plenty of other issues that we should be dealing with that the American people want to hear.
Elliot Engel, I have only a minute. What are you going to be doing in your district this summer?
Well, I'm going to be doing what I always do. First of all, Congress has a session all through July.
Right.
The month that we're off is August. What I generally do in August is I come back to the district. I'm in the district all the time. I of course, am in the district every weekend. When I don't have votes in Washington, I come back to the district. And it would be nice to take a little vacation for a week or so, but I don't know. We'll have to see. But I'll be back working in my district, meeting with constituents, trying to help people with their problems, trying to bring money to the district, doing the things that I've been doing for all these years. And, you know, I've been very fortunate in that people have liked what I've done. They've honored me by reelecting me 15 times. You don't get elected 15 times if you're not doing your job. So I'm grateful that the voters think I'm doing my job. And there's a saying I always use, and that is, it's a 2-year term, so it's a 2-year contract. And at the end of the 2 years, which is now, I ask the voters to renew my contract for another 2 years. And so far, they've done that. I'm very proud of it. I'm very grateful to it. I'm going to continue to work hard and do what I love, which is helping people, which is doing things that better people's lives. And you know, that's why the Center for Effective Lawmaking rated me the number one most effective Democratic congressman.
Wow.
That's out of all almost 200 Democrats. I was rated the most effective, number one. So I take that as a great honor.
Elliot Engel, it's a great honor to have you with us. And when we come back the next time, I'm going to ask you about guns, okay?
Okay, Alan. Thank you.